Call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation. Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard. First thing on the agenda is a consent agenda, which is the general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held September 22nd. Approve all claims through October 6th in the amount of $282,311.40. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve permit 871 for Windstream Nebraska, Inc. to replace a communications facility at North 7 Adams Township. Approve fiscal year 0910 NBCS report from Highway Department. Approve permit 872 for Windstream to install a communications facility between section 24 and 25, Township 5, Range 6, North 25, Holt.
I would move we approve.
Approve permit 873 for Windstream to replace a communication facility between sections 4 and 5, Township 3, Range 7, East, Rockford 5. Okay, Ron.
I would move we approve consent agenda items 1 through 8.
Moved by Fleece.
Second.
Seconded by Barnard. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Marlon, you're up on Highway Superintendent report.
I'll start off with zoning. The comp plan hearing will be at the next board meeting. I think it's scheduled at 10 a.m. on October 20th. And then the wind regs, they tabled them. We're going to meet again on it next week. There was concern from the industry people about the setback, so we're looking at that a little closer. Then you got a copy of your zoning permit list for up to date. Just hand it to you. I didn't get time to study it, how many new houses or anything, but there's several. There's some people building.
Marlon, I guess I don't know how long it's been, a month or year and a half ago, we thought that they needed to start looking at the fees and cost and that sort of stuff. I don't think it's probably been changed since probably day one, you know, as far as the cost that the county has to make sure these things are being carried out and appropriately being reimbursed, you know. But...
yeah, and I could bring that.
$25 fee almost seems like a giveaway.
Well, the problem is you can't zone farm buildings, but I call it an application fee, and I don't know if you cannot charge zoning fees on farm buildings.
Well, what about for new construction, those type of inspection fees?
We still got the development fee of $3 a thousand. I'll bring that to the next meeting, but so far it's always been the fees have been paying the zoning budget and then a little more. So, but I can sure bring that. Or
I just was wondering how our fees compared to maybe other county fees in regards to that.
I did a study, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago, and work higher than some, lower than some. I can see if I can find that, or I can redo one.
Matt?
My question about new homes that go up, whether it be an acreage owner or whether it be someone that moves from town out the country or a farmer that retires and decides to build out there, are there any hard, fast, written policies or rules that you're aware of from township to township that designate, if I build a home here, we will improve the road? What's the cooperative agreement? Periodically, things come up and say, well, they said this was going to happen, and now this particular entity, they don't feel like both ends have been. You know what I'm saying? I mean.
Yeah, some townships don't put their agreements in writing, but they've all passed the resolution that says if anybody develops or builds on a unimproved road, that the developer has to pay for half the first rocking and make an agreement with the township on grading if it needs grading or any structures, culverts or anything. That's all of the townships have approved that resolution. Some of them carry it out differently than others. You know, it's whatever the agreement they come up with between the township and the developer. Because every road's different, so every road, you know, one road might not need much, one might need a whole overhaul, you know, so.
So as people go and they like to find these nice little secluded lanes with plenty of overgrowth that we've talked about ad nauseum, if someone decides, well, I'd like to buy this parcel, before that even goes through, is there someone here, somewhere here in the courthouse where they can get a copy and say, now here's your obligation if you do this? Do they know that, or do they get so far down the road and then they find out later? How does...
Well, we have all them resolutions on file out there. I don't know if the courthouse or the clerk's office would have them or not.
And I say this under the context of, as you know, we want to continue to improve roads. If we start to have to go back and put more work and product on a road that for years no one lived on, then that thins out the ability to take care of the others that are currently under. So not to stifle any growth or building or anything, but I think those periodically I get those calls at home of, they're not holding up their end, or how does this work? And I just didn't know if there was a mechanism in place to make sure everyone knows what the rules are from the word go.
Mr. Chair.
Dave.
I think that's a good idea. Clerk, assessors, everybody was kind of remade aware of that process. However, I think where we would catch it fairly on is if there's a zoning, I mean, particularly since zoning is done, then there anybody that would come in for a zoning permit to, like, build a new house or develop an acreage, that kind of a thing, they certainly should be made aware of that at that time. But I think that's a good point, well taken.
Marlon, curious, with all our acreages out there, how do you decide if it's an acreage or if it's ag when they go to put up a pole shed?
If they have over 20 acres and they're involved in farming, normally if it's a garage attached to a house or a garage next to a house, we charge them the zoning fee, the development fee. Pole barns, it's a little more questionable, but the assessor's office will usually catch them, because sometimes people like to fix up their pole barns pretty good, too. So.
Gary?
Actually, I believe it was Lancaster County Assessor Norm Aganaugh dealt with some of these issues probably 3 or 4 years ago, I'm guessing, and he used different things to determine whether it was ag or whether it was an acreage owner, and I guess maybe we could do a little research and find out how that worked. But as far as the assessing purposes, he had a way he did it, and I believe somebody may have even taken him to court, and I'm not so sure that he didn't win that, whatever form they had. So I'd say maybe that once we get into this, if Marlon would want to check into that and kind of see what happened there, or if he wants me to, I would. But you know, there's a reason they do some of that.
There's an income requirement, too. If they make over so many dollars on the farm, they're considered a farm. That's kind of state statute also.
I believe we had one parcel 2 years ago, maybe, that had less than 20 acres, but he had an FSA number, I believe at that time, if I'm thinking correctly, that we allowed that to remain that way because he had an FSA number. But I believe that was still some of the things that was determined in Lancaster County. So without knowing that, I don't know what we'd do about it immediately.
Moving along, and you approved the fiscal year 09-10 NBCS report. There's three copies up there. One copy will stay here. One goes to our office, and one goes to the state. Next thing would be approve or disapprove resolution adopting and approving the execution of an agreement with the State of Nebraska Department of Roads regarding the National Bridge Inspection Standards Responsibilities.
Resolution 1031.
I move we approve resolution 1031.
I would second that and ask Marlon for a little more explanation of that, please.
Okay.
This is basically the agreement's guaranteeing that we'll get the bridge inspections done on time or they'll withhold funds. They can withhold funds for any reason or no reason, but that's basically the gist of it, kind of guaranteeing that we make sure we do the bridge inspections when they're due.
So. Mr. Chair.
Dave?
Guess I'll do the inquisitive method here. How many bridge inspectors do we have, Marlon?
We have four on staff. We use three of them most of the time. Galen's also one, but we only use him when there's a particular issue with a bridge.
Which bridges do we inspect and which do the state inspect, and is there double duty on that happen?
No, we don't have any double duty. The ones they inspected were all the fracture critical or the scar critical or the underwater ones. We don't have many of them. We do have a few, but so.
So then, as far as our three guys that normally do it, how many bridges do we have to inspect, and in what period of time, and can we expect to fulfill this contract?
Yes, we have 117 that are due before the end of the year. Some of them are a little bit past due. We did them first. They should be done. We'll get them reported to the state. Then the rest we'll have done by the end of the year. And then they want them done quarterly, which ours, most of them are not set up quarterly. They're due like October, November. Some were evidently due in September.
But aren't these annual inspections?
Biannual, some of them. Some are annual.
What? These are legitimate questions.
Oh, no, no one's
learning
said,
because yeah. I'm learning too a little bit here. What makes a 2-year bridge and what makes a 1-year bridge?
Well, if there's any issues with the bridge, like if there's piling that are under a certain grade, then they want you to come back. Fracture critical, I think, is every year on them.
So when you said quarterly, you don't mean inspect them quarterly. You mean set them up so that a fourth
right.
of each
if
year's bridges get inspected in each quarter. So
if
kind of evens out the workload.
Right. I guess that's what they're looking
for. That's pretty
for.
Stupid in the winter months, wouldn't you say? But
yeah.
So be it.
Yeah.
In the county-owned river bridges, we don't inspect. The state does that, correct?
We inspect them.
Do we do those?
If they are underground piers or anything, then we have to have the state scuba divers in.
So. But you have, there's certain bridges that the state does do some assistance.
The last couple years, they've done that consulting firm deal and took a bunch of our bridge replacement money to
that's over and above the 117?
Yeah.
Like, how many total bridges do we have, just so people
325 state size. 325.
I think that's important so people get an idea of the enormity of the task, and if we're to inspect, say, four-fifths of those or some significant number, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So there's 117 you're talking about. That's just this year's? Or
that's
this?
Due by the end of the year, and like I said, a few of them were a little past due. But until we get the program package downloaded from the state, you know, the last time these bridges were inspected were by a consultant, so we wasn't aware of the date they inspected them. And
that was part of that state mandated the Fed after the Fed bridge or the big bridge clapped up in North Minnesota or whatever. The Feds got all hyper and made the state do a check of like everything. And all right, I think I'm done, except the state did buy us computers at some point, laptops. To,
yes.
So the bridge inspectors all have a hands-on device to report it electronically.
No, we don't let them take it out.
Okay.
Things happen. They get dropped, or they don't do water real well. And
so they inspect them, come back, and then your office staff enters the data into
yes, they do. And the reason for that is we did that for a while. One guy on the inspection crew was capable of doing it and entering stuff without messing everything up. But what happened was if you enter it right in the computer, we never printed out a hard copy, and they when the feds come check your file, they want to see an inspection report for every year or every 2 years in the file. So we started just printing them out and doing it that way. So.
Okay, well, that's your call, but okay.
Ron, how many, you got three out there making inspections. How many bridges can they do in a daytime, at one time?
3 to 4 each team. We have a team of two.
A day? Yeah, so it'd take about probably 2 hours at least to look at each bridge.
I know for sure the state says 11 a day is too much, but I don't know who did that. I don't know if it was our county or another county, but they did say that was too much. So.
Well, you can't do 11 a day. You couldn't even drive to 11 a day.
Matt?
What makes a fracture critical bridge?
If it's a... like all these pony trusses, and they have pins on them pony trusses. If one of them pins breaks, that bridge is going to fall down. That's fracture critical. Any bridge that has just two I-beams and one of them I-beams fails, that bridge is fracture critical. That's basically what's... Gary?
You mean by pins, you mean like the rivets that hold the
No, the
trusses?
Big pins, the rivets.
A big bolt.
Okay.
It's a big... Yeah. A lot of them have big, you know, like 2-3-inch pins.
It's not like a large rivet, then. It's actually a big high tensile bolt, probably.
Wow. More pin, yeah.
Bridge.
All right.
Okay.
We should have a bridge.
Any other questions?
If you hit them with a hammer just right, you can tell if you're cracked or not.
Do they sing?
After they're hit with a hammer, they crack.
Yeah. Okay, what else, Marla?
We got a boat on them. Did we vote on this motion?
Oh, okay. Nope. Any more discussion on Resolution 1031? Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Next thing I have is, there's a resolution on the NACO purchase for the purchase of motor grader, but I'll move on to my other business. The Barnston South project, we poured the north abutment Monday. And they're starting forming on the piers in the south abutment. Hopefully, when the weather holds, we'll get all that below work done before we start getting the fall rains or whatever, snow. The Beatrice North project, they moved it to the October 21st bid letting. Just letting you know that. Then they are wanting us to start the CE selection process. The N. Wymore one, they want environmental docs done. We've been working on that for a while. We're still clearing up that railroad right away. It's a long, long process. Then I had a question on... I have a commercial applicator's license for the weed department. Every 3 years they offer training and recertification for that. It's later on in October. I'm just wondering if that's something that you would have a problem with if I went to. It's a 2-day training. Keep up on the latest chemicals and what works and what don't work, and plus you get recertified for your commercial applicator's license.
Do you have to be, or the weed superintendent has to be?
The weed superintendent has to be. I like to keep up and to speed on it for chemical reasons. And there's some of them chemicals you have to have a certified person on site. Some of them you can have a certified person controlling it, but there's some of them roadway ones that you have to have a certified guy on site. So next thing,
Dave,
since I'm I guess of that committee, I'd like to I think our committee and Shirley and Ron are on that too. I'd like to take that topic up next week and discuss it.
It's appropriate.
My immediate thoughts are, our weed person has to go. Marlin's the backup. I'm not real sure he needs to go. If he wants to go, he should probably take 2 days vacation. It's just, maybe I'm speaking out of school here, but that's a possibility if he really wants to keep that certification up. And as far as having somebody on site, yeah, sometimes our county guys spray, but I think a lot of times we hire Gary Bergmeyer right now as the mainly hired sprayer, and he's certainly certified to do any I think, in all of these chemicals. And so I think we need to dig into it a little bit and make sure we're being efficient.
When is it, Marlon?
October 26th and 27th or something like that.
Where at?
Hastings.
Maybe we can get together even sooner if time is, I guess, kind of short for that. You got to pre-register, I suppose. Or
one issue with, Bergmeyer we used on the grants, and that was all on private property. All the county spraying we've done in-house, done ourselves. So
that's something, again, we may want to look at what we're paying our guys and benefits and overtime, if there's any overtime and stuff. I mean, you know, just do a cost study, because Gary's a private guy. I know he's been doing an awful lot for the townships. So, I mean, just something to look at. I think your guys do fine, and you're probably what's going on is just fine. But
we always need to reanalyze.
Look at it.
Matt?
Is this something that if your current certification were to lapse, that you'd have to do additional training to get caught up before you could be certified again? Is
another good question.
Does it make
basically,
it
yeah, you'd have to go to Lincoln and take the test, study for it, and everything.
So you'd have to catch up if you let it lapse, and you got to catch up before you can be certified again.
Mm-hmm. Next thing I wanted to make you aware of is we're on our winter hours now. Started Monday, 7 to 3:30. And then I've talked to Dave about this, but we have an issue with our Bobcat. It's a 1994, and we'll be discussing that. I just kind of put some remarks on there. You can lease them. I'm checking with Oregon Trail, a local company, I should say, on their lease program also. And
Gary?
Make sure you check with everybody in Gage County that sells Bobcats or skid loaders or whatever.
Okay.
Not just one.
And I would imagine and on the Bobcat thing.
No, Roars sell them too.
Well, I mean, there's more than one around.
Oh, yeah.
On the Bobcat thing, there is a tremendous number of good used Bobcats on the market because of the crash in the construction and real estate markets, and some really good bargains out there.
A guy can get a steal sometimes, can he?
In fact, I did, sort of, I think. But, of course, I had to fix it up, but tell a story. I bought one over the internet through a third party who was pretty good at knowing what was good. Shipped it back from California, got it almost half price of what it would bring locally. It's a used one, but it needed about $3,000 to get it up to speed, which was glad to do and still ahead of the game. But the point is, there's some good machines out there. Every trader magazine, I'm sure the internet too, is full of them. The point when we first got this as a used machine, just nobody thought we needed it because we had never had one before. But I think anybody that's been around construction knows that is the most universally used tool out there. They're amazing machines. Number of attachments can go on them. You can dig, scrape, level, polish, put sweepers on them. They're high hydraulic-driven attachments. Dig post holes. I highly recommend that we get at least a good used one, but we need to be really good about
it. Is that lease number accurate?
That's from a vendor that...
No hour requirement on that kind of thing?
Under 250.
And how many do you put on it now?
Not that much. We're 50 to 100 hours a year.
At all.
Kind of hard to buy one for that kind of money, then.
Yeah, that's a little used.
Yeah.
The only problem is when you need them, you need them.
Yeah.
But depending how big you get, you can get up into the 40,000 plus range real fast with a newer unit.
What else, Marlon?
Next thing was that 84 Ford semi tractor. It's on Purple Wave this morning. I checked the bids up to 3,200. So, and I think that sale ends on the 12th of October. So. And I guess that's all I have.
Okay. Approve or disapprove placing signs at 8 bridge locations in southwest Gage County as per attached map indicating the names of streams being crossed. Cost is 16 signs, approximately $480, to be paid by the Southwest Gage County Historic Preservation Association with placement by Gage County Highway Department personnel. Dave, motion to approve. We'll do that, and then you can have your discussion on it.
Okay. I would move we approve placing signs at 8 bridge locations as per the map attached.
Okay. Moved by Fleece. Seconded by Bauman.
Quick explanation. As a group that I'm involved with, it's no personal gain to me, but I'll probably abstain just for the fact of abstaining. abstaining. And I'll pass this map around. I just have one copy. In fact, I think the copy that we had Monday may have gone home with one of the other people in the room. I'm not sure. I couldn't find my original, so I made another. So if any of the other copies surface, this will be the original. There's a group in the Odell area. We're trying to promote not only history, but just kind of interest in the geography and just interest, historical interest in the area. And we would like to provide the funds to place these signs at 8 bridge locations. There'd be one sign and a post at the corner of each bridge. And Marlon had looked up the cost, and I think the better sign, high resolution, 4-inch letters, I think, on
the
6-inch
sign with 4-inch,
was about $30, $29 and change for the sign and post for each location. So we're saying that we'd roughly $480. If it's $20 or $30 more than that, that's not an issue. But we have some funds that we would reimburse the county to do that. I would hope that we would let our highway crew do it. Quick explanation, and I'll send this map around. It's kind of interesting to see. In M Township on the PWF Road, there's a bridge by the Holtmeyer Farms. It's actually Elm Creek, and I think a lot of people don't even know that that creek has a name. South of, in the area of where Marvin Nelson, Chuck Whitehead live, that area on the Odell North Blacktop is a Sisley Creek Bridge that's fairly major. In Sisley Township, there actually is only one that is on a main county road. It's on the PWF Road around where Stan Hayes, the curve down there, that's also Sisley. In Glenwood Township on the Sage Road on the way to Diller is a big Indian Creek bridge right south of Odell, a quarter mile, and the blacktop that goes to Lanham is another big Indian Creek bridge. North of Odell on the Odell blacktop is an Ash Creek bridge. That's another smaller creek. Right on the edge of Lanham, and this is the only bridge that we're recommending, it is about 100 feet off of a county road. It's actually on the township road there on the state line. But that is Horseshoe Creek Bridge. I don't know that a lot of people realize that Horseshoe Creek starts up south of Diller, actually, and then runs into the Blue River just north of Marysville. And that's really a pretty major creek by the time it gets down to Marysville. And then the last location is in Paddock Township. It's kind of by the Catholic Cemetery, if anybody's aware of that. It's on a gravel road, on a main gravel road, half mile north of Odell, and that is Ash Creek. And I'd like to send that around, flip through it quick, look at it, but would hope that the board would see fit to cooperate with us on that.
Mr. Chairman.
Gary?
I guess I'm certainly not opposed to it at all, Dave. A couple questions, though. We will have an expense. Our highway department is going to spend some time putting these up. And then the only other question I have is we're starting to precedent. Are we going to do this? Others want to do it, and I still wouldn't object to it. I'm just saying, are we going to, if we're creating something here, maybe we need to at least have some kind of policy to go along with it, so when it comes up in the future, we'll have some guidance on how to handle it so everybody gets treated fairly. But I'm certainly not opposed to it.
We obviously kept it to named streams. You know, we're not like making up names or putting new ones on, and that would certainly be a criteria, I think, that you would want somebody coming in. Hey, I've got a creek here in my pasture. I want to call it my creek.
Would you agree, though, maybe Road and Bridge Committee ought to come up with some sort of policy so we can deal with it in the future? Even if it's a simple paragraph, so we have a guidelines what to do, so we're consistent.
I guess I'd just like to compliment Dave on taking initiative on this. A lot of these creeks have got some historical reasons why they were called Ash Creek or why they were called this or why called that. And you'd be surprised how many times you go across one of those and you have a sign there that says Ash Creek. Well, good. I always wonder what this creek's name was. I think it'll create a little bit more interest out there on what some of these creeks was when they hear some kind of information someday that there could be flooding on Ash Creek or there could be some flooding on Big Indian.
I like the idea personally.
It's got some merit to identifying these. At least people will be able to identify where they're at as far as that bridge is concerned.
Denny.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I totally agree. And, of course, as I see our tourism director here in the audience today, I think he's always looking for examples and for ways to make our county and our area more attractive to visitors. And this is something I can see that is a fun thing, and it's something that I think has a lot of history. And Dave, thank you very much. I think it's well done.
Don't we have a creek called Bloody Run or something?
Yes.
What's the story there?
Right out here west of town.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to know the story.
But obviously there's history there.
it wouldn't have been called that.
Right.
How about Bottle Creek? You know the history on that?
No.
It's first creek west of town here, and people always, the pioneers stopped here. It was the last town from here to Kearney, and so they all stocked up on liquor, and they drank at least one bottle time they hit the creek, and they threw it out in the creek.
There's a creek associated with Rockford Lake that was really something that went back where two families feuded way back when, you know, and...
There's a lot of history to our drainages. So
it just creates a little interest. I think anytime you can make a locale more interesting, that it's just again a little silly, but a quality of life issue thing.
Any more discussion?
Yeah.
Vote 7-0 to approve.
No, take me off. I'm abstaining.
Oh, six. There we go. 6-1 with Dave abstaining. Mark, you're up.
Good morning. You should have a packet that I put in your box there. I just want to start out reminding everybody that October 3rd through the 9th is Fire Prevention Week, so this year's theme is smoke alarms, a sound you can live with. So just a reminder for everybody to check your smoke alarms in your house.
Any age requirement on that?
No, you can be any age to check that. I have that packet for you, too, by the
way. Thank you.
In my report here, just to kind of highlight some of the things, some of the severe weather we had at the end of August, 1st of September, which is a little bit unusual. We had three straight days of severe weather. The Senior Preparedness Day was held on Saturday, the 18th, at Ace Hardware in Beatrice. I felt was very successful. We had a lot of positive comments. I'd like to thank the first responder agencies that helped me with that, the Red Cross, the Sheriff's Department, the Beatrice Police Department, Beatrice Fire and Rescue. We had equipment there and set up and a lot of my equipment, so we had a lot of good positive feedback from that and handed out about 270 kits that day. And we continue to hand out the rest of those kits through some of the local banks, and the senior centers are finishing up, and I've got a few left, so get that done. There's three things on my activity report that there's stories about in the back. I've added the Nebraska Emergency Management. They call it the Beacon Newsletter, so when you get to that, that shows you some of the information that I'm going over here. We attended a target capabilities workshop in Lincoln to address and identify threats in our region for Homeland Security grant purposes. Attended a regional local emergency management planning committee, the LEPC. It was held in Wilbur on August 2nd. That's working out really good to the point where the state has requested that we add two more counties to our region. We know we used to meet monthly on that thing, and it took a long time. Our meetings are pretty limited. We gauge Jefferson and Saline counties in and now, and they'd like to add Fillmore and Thayer. And the reasoning behind that is because it fits our public health district. So we're considering, you know, adding them too. If them counties want to come in, they can join us. And we're accomplishing probably just as much, if not a little bit more, in the 2 hours we meet quarterly versus the 2 hours we meet every month. So it's really nice to see that happening, and we're moving it around. Recently, I've had some interest now brought in the ethanol plant in Adams. E-Energy is going to join our LEPC, which they haven't been a member before. So I went out and visited with them, and they're excited about being part of it now. So attended the Nebraska Emergency Management Disaster Response Workshop. It's a public assistance workshop. I was able to probably give just as much information because of the fact we've had so many federal disasters, and that's basically what it was about. We have a lot of new emergency managers across the state, so they're out teaching what kind of paperwork needs to be completed for public assistance during a disaster-related incident. Participated in the state regional exercise, the Terex 2010. Up in Lincoln, I sat in the sim cell and made phone calls into the executive group and to the governor's office and such that day, and had a lot of good feedback there. There's a report or a article in the magazine. We're really, it's really been brought to head again, the animal stop movement and the ag-related classes we're going to again, really working on getting our ag plan, you know, a more precise ag plan, agricultural plan, where we're going to actually quarantine animals and such, how we're going to issue permits. We're working with the sheriff's office on that. Attended that meeting in Belleville, Kansas to help, so both Kansas and Nebraska is on the same page. It's really nice to be able to say what our goal is that, you know, we're not setting both resources, states, on one road. So our original plan is what we're trying to follow through now is that every other highway is different responsibility of a different county. So we don't have, you know, we don't have to worry about all of our highways. Kansas is going to worry about one, we're going to worry about one, and et cetera. So that's working out really good. And Kansas is way ahead, further than any other state. And but Kansas, in response to that, says they like working with us a lot better than Missouri and Iowa and everybody else. So it's been some good correspondence we've had, and the sheriff's office has participated in that exercise too. So, but it was a really good meeting. Highway Department completed their CPR and first aid training. I don't know if Martin brought that up. And now we're going to work on a date getting the courthouse employees. Their training, and I'm basically waiting to the Emergency Operations Center opens back up so we have a little more room. But we did want to get the Highway Department completed, so that is done. I'm working on, again, the EOC and the communications room. You can stop down and take a look at the communications room. It really took a lot of shape this week. We spent a lot of time in there, and we've actually got the radio equipment back working. Talked to Wim early again about the generator, trying to get it back up so we can be back in full operation. We could be in operation now, it's just we still don't have the backup power. And they're painting the EOC right now. So working with the security system in the courthouse and the fire alarm system, doing training and entering information for issuing the key fobs. And then attached also is Sean's quarterly report. I don't know that I've think I've handed them out to the committees in the past, but I will make it a point that when he does these quarterly reports, they'll get to the board so you guys can see what's going on there. So the only thing I didn't put on there on my sheet was I did attend the meeting for the Nebraska Early Warning Sirens Project grant that we received from SEND. And there's some information here that I will give to a couple of, I just got it, just printed it, so I'll give it to my committee, and then I also want the county attorney's office to look over some of that. So before I hand it out to everybody, I want to review that. That project is kicking off now, and we got some things to do. There's some agreements that they want us to sign. So we'll all get the county attorney's office involved in that, and SEND is helping quite a bit now. So,
Mr. Chairman. Mark, in regard to that conversation we had, I didn't get to talk to Matt. Have you talked to him?
No.
Matt, could emergency management have 5 minutes after we're done? Mark has something he's talked to us about on some addressing and some stuff to do with the change in ambulance district that's pretty important. We need to talk about it. So,
yeah, he can have a committee meeting any time.
Well, won't we? If we just take a few minutes, won't it, afterwards when we're done?
Yeah.
He needs some direction from the committee, I think.
Okay. We do 10 minutes, 15 or 20 if it takes it.
No, it's about a 10-minute at the
yeah,
most.
Yeah, just explained
if he talks faster.
Okay. Okay, what else, Mark?
That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Motion to approve his report.
Moved by police to approve report. Seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution authorizing the issuance of a lease purchase agreement, Resolution 1032 through ANACO, for the purchase of a motor grader.
I'll make a motion. I would so move approve resolution. What's the resolution?
1032.
Authorizing the issuance of a lease purchase agreement through ANACO for the purchase of a motor grader.
Moved by police.
Second.
Seconded by Barner. Discussion.
We talked about this through the budgeting process, about not trying to cough up $238,000 all at once. So we'll spread this out. The plan is to pay for this over 4 years, quarterly payments of $15,348 and some change. So total interest paid, if we stretched it out over 4 years, would be $7,400. Added on to the $238,170. So the idea there was to not pay all of that up front. It was a recommendation from the auditor that puts us in a better cash position, better cash flow. So I think the intent in doing this would be to pay this off early, but just buys us a little time and stretches this out so we're not paying it all at once.
Mr. Chairman.
Jerry?
Is this for something that we've already purchased? You're just going to go back and retrieve our money back through a lease purchase? Or have we already paid for this
machine? We have not paid for. Have we taken delivery of this yet? No.
Oh, this is the one that we voted on.
This is the brand new one, the six-wheel drive back in the day. Yeah. This isn't a new piece. This is just instead of paying for it all at once, we'll chip away at it.
Thank you.
And interest is about 1.5%.
Yeah.
So
this isn't something new. NACO, I think, has been doing this for providing this service, which is, I think, a very intelligent way for us to go as far as financially, so that it doesn't burden us one year with a great big expenditure, and just gives you a little bit more of an equal balance throughout your budget. Much more helpful.
Dave?
Just comment, low interest, it makes a lot of sense especially, but I would a little bit warn against getting too many of these strung out, just trying to keep track of them. The fact is, with the number of machines we've got, we probably ought to be buying one a year anyway. And if you're buying one a year, why each time spread it out? But no real heartburn about it. Just kind of been there in the past, and you get four or five pieces of equipment out on payments pretty soon. It's kind of a little bit harder to manage, particularly something like maintainers, where literally we should be buying about one a year to keep current.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Presentation, Jim, of $8,250 check to the Gage County Historical Society from Visitors Improvement Fund.
Kind of like live TV. You always think you have things lined up perfectly, and then something goes awry. The chairman of the Gage County Historical Society Board was supposed to be here this morning and isn't. Lisa Arterburn's involved out of the Philly Stone Barn. So what we're going to do is just have Dave Anderson and Roger Hendricks, who's representing the Convention Visitor Bureau, hold the check, and then I'll make sure that...
What did this sucker cost you?
Not much, really. But they used that funding for replacing some guttering, downspouts, repainted around some windows.
On the Philly barn?
No, on the actual museum.
Okay.
And replaced some doors. So
it's down here at the railroad.
Okay.
Anyway, we just like to do this once while in front of the supervisors.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
When are they going to start on this? Pretty soon?
Already done, actually. Oh, they have to turn in the invoices to us.
We'd approved this about a year ago.
Yeah, so just got wrapped up. But,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Looks nice. Looks good.
Thank you.
We have a 9:30 bid opening.
Better wait till 9:30.
Yep. We'll wait 2 minutes.
And we take up change order number 29.
Okay. We can do change order number 29. Approve or disapprove change order 29 for courthouse renovation project in the amount of $4,529.
Just a little few add-ons that came about because of the courthouse renovation project. As you can see in the change order, somebody involves register of deeds office and first floor, room 25, and the sound system in the district courtroom. And then also you've got some time and material for wiring to connect 5 of the second floor doors to alarm system. As per direction of the fire marshal, $1,912. So. If you have any questions on it, we did have some, but I guess one of the concerns we have is item number 4, but I guess those things.
On Monday, did you kind of explain a lot of this, that these were doors that originally weren't considered offices, so didn't think needed an electronic lock system?
That's not that one, though, is it?
Oh, that's the next one.
Yeah.
Four.
Sorry about
Wim,
that.
Wim, have you got anything you wanted to add on? I think item number 4, I think probably was the most, concern we had. Hold on a minute. We had a guy's radio go off.
You got to have change. I'm not leaving all 10 of them.
You don't want it. Your thing's getting low.
We'll carry a balance, Gary.
Yeah. Put it on my account.
Okay, Wim. Sorry for the interruption.
Oh, no, that's all right. Got to keep that all square. We're addressing item 4 on this is what we're looking at. This is, again, it's one of those things that the fire marshals come up with. I had one 2 weeks ago, and then we have one this time. Rick Schreiner should have by now received a letter that I composed in response to more questions that the fire marshal has in regards to the west stair and some other items that we have put a response to see if they will give us a little more leniency on inspecting the building. And I did happen to see that the fire marshal was here again this morning. I don't know if he's still in the building or not. It goes back to the usage of the second floor corridor is what this goes back to again. And in order to reassure them that the second floor corridor, third floor is what we're calling it now, is going to operate in a manner in which they are comfortable with, then these devices needed to be added in order to control the doors on through that secondary corridor there. And so it's just something I guess we're going to have to do in order to have him feel more comfortable. You know, the Dave and I have had discussions about it's been very difficult to combine the two functions of this corridor. In one aspect, we're asking, we're required to have it for fire exiting. On the other hand, we're trying to use it as a secure corridor to transport prisoners and things like that. So the functions that we're asking it to perform are opposite each other. One wants to hold you in place and the other wants to let you go free. So this is just one thing that we're going to have to...
Gary.
Just out of curiosity, how many other projects, Wim, you guys done lately where the fire marshal comes in and okays it and then they replace him with somebody else and come back and just... If this happens everywhere, this costs some taxpayers a lot of money.
It is, and it does.
Are they ever going to get where they're all on the same page? How often does this happen to you guys?
It happens quite often, and it's happened to us most recently up at Valley County in Ord at their courthouse, where the regional fire marshal overruled the Lincoln fire marshal's office. And the Lincoln Fire Marshal's office won't contest the regional fire marshal. They'll stand behind them. And the other problem that we constantly for years have run into with the fire marshal's office is that they won't commit anything into writing. Once an agreement's been made over how the design has been done, they do an initial review in Lincoln, a plan review, but then and that's addressed in writing as far as the review goes. But then when it goes out in the field, it's the discretion is left wide open again to the fire marshal in that region. And so it's a constant frustration and battle for us with the state fire marshal's office.
That's something the legislature can fix.
No, I don't know that they can.
Governor's office might.
Well, I just would comment that it's for whatever reason they've seen it as a safety issue, and they're supposed to be in charge of our fire safety, and they have you over a barrel.
And
just from a 42% of this change order is related to a request from the fire marshal.
I guess the thing that kind of disturbs me is we have had no more scrutiny on that second floor, third floor corridor of anything we've done in this courthouse.
Yep.
By the fire marshal as to making sure all this was done in accordance with et cetera, et cetera. And then coming, we got the thing built, people's using it. Then they come back and say, well, we got to do this. That was something that should have been caught by them way back when, instead of costing us another $12 or 12% more cost for a change order. You know, it's just absolutely ridiculous. I've always said if a guy wants to do a project, if the money's coming out of your own pocket, you would have a second thoughts on some of this stuff. And this is a thing where just because it's somebody else's money, it doesn't make any difference. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Any more discussion?
Move on, I guess. I've got a motion. We got
a motion in a second. Any more discussion? Vote.
You need to start talking. We need
make a motion to approve change order. Make a motion to approve change order number 29 in the amount of $4,529.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Fleece. Discussion? Vote. 7-0. We have a 9:30 bid opening for Windows Northside Detention Center. Need a motion to close it at 9:36.
So moved. I move we close the bids.
Moved by Byers at 9:36 to close a bid, seconded by Fleece.
Yeah.
Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Building grounds.
Yeah, might as well. Okay, first one is from Chief Industries Incorporated. I'm afraid I'll cut myself.
Please don't.
Chief, you said, Ron?
Chief Industries Incorporated, Grand Island, Nebraska. There's a... let's see. Got a bid bond. Enclosed. I'm trying to find out where the... Okay, total delivery price, $36,639. That is for 8 thermal broke 12-gauge power-coated detention windows, 61-inch by 48-inch, and 4 thermal broke 12-gauge powder-coated detention windows, 44 by 32-inch, 12 windows. Price includes demolition, insulation, and the whole ball of wax to get them there. So everybody got it? $36,639. Next bid is from Five Star Contracting here in Beatrice, Nebraska. So we got a bid bond, a bid price of $48,468. I would like to maybe meet with the building grounds. Maybe meet could break with the sheriff's department to make sure everything looks okay before we come back.
And with our architect, probably.
Well, this is kind of outside of there.
Outside of that.
Because it's out here in the...
Okay, we won't meet with him then.
Yeah.
He's not grabbing 12% of this one.
But he'd take it.
Yeah, he'd take it.
Maybe do a little gratis review for us.
Exactly, so. Right. I like that.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Okay. So
plus the $5,000 donation to the courtrooms would be just that.
Or ten.
Yeah. Go right with that.
We'll probably go through the agenda here, and then we'll take a recess, and you guys can. So we have a 10 o'clock. We need to come back to approve or disapprove change order number 4 for courthouse security system in the amount of $2,345. Need a motion.
Move we approve change order number 4.
Motion to approve. Need a second.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Ron?
We had three of these that they wanted to come up with some devices. We cut it down to one. We felt that the one was definitely needed, and that would be from the district courtroom to the district court bailiff office, that we would have access control device on that, so that there would be no way people could just walk into that area without having the device for that. It was just one of those doors that was kind of overlooked because of construction going on in that immediate area at the time, and just didn't catch it. Anything else you wanted to add to that one?
That pretty much covers it.
And the other one was a little $150. We'll remove and remount card reader to the opposite side of the door frame. Had to turn the door around. Got faced the wrong direction, whatever the case was, I guess, on it. So, anyway.
Okay. Any discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove written response to Mr. Scheiding, September 14th, 2010, letter to Gage County Board of Supervisors.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Barnard. Discussion is, I shall read the letter. Dear Mr. Scheiding, the Gage County Board of Supervisors, in receipt of your letter dated September 14th, 2010, and listen to your September 14th letter and your comments at its regularly scheduled meeting on September 22nd. In your letter, you state that one of my clients who is employed by Gage County has had their computer confiscated by Gage County Board of Supervisors. The Gage County Board of Supervisors has not confiscated any computer owned by any county employee. The county provides email, voicemail, internet access, telephone service, and computer equipment for use by its employees in conducting county business. County employees are advised that all such equipment and systems are county property and should be used primarily for business purposes, according to county policy. Because such property and systems are county property, the county has a right to and will monitor the use of such property from time to time. Therefore, no employee should have any expectations of privacy in his or her use of such property or any files, data, or information transmitted with, placed, or stored on, otherwise communicating using such equipment and systems. You further state in your letter, your client is currently involved in a real estate transaction involving a member of the Gage County Board of Supervisors. We have no knowledge of any real estate transaction currently pending between your unnamed client and any member of the Gage County Board of Supervisors. To avoid any possible breach of confidentiality between you and your client, we recommend you not send any correspondence to any client who is employed by the county via email, which can then be accessed by the county-owned computers, or mail correspondence to them at their work address. Any more discussion?
I should damn that guy.
Vote. In favor, Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Byers, Barnard. Abstaining is Fleece. There's the signed letters. Approve or disapprove job description for highway superintendent. Need a motion to approve or disapprove.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Barnard. Discussion is, there was some concerns conveyed during Road and Bridge, Dave, and those were addressed and changed. Matt, do you want to...
have to read through that last.
Actually, I didn't find it in my file, but we did have the visit prior to the meeting, and I believe I'm happy with what's fired here.
There's number three here. There's a question or a one.
This is under the discharge guidelines, right? Under the discharge guidelines is the area that you corrected.
Yeah. Two, three, and four, yeah, there were some questions there. But the ones I had were, I don't know if these are just your notes, but there were some changes I made that were different than what's on here. But they were shared with me from Ron and Marlon and Rex. So
did you get a current copy? I don't
have. Yeah, the most current one...
just what you sent.
Yeah, that one there.
So, yeah.
I'll get you. You want to look at it? I'll get you a copy.
Yep. And I think, well, I know the impetus for doing this is that Marlon's position is no longer a contracted position, so we need to have a job description. So a lot of this was pulled from what the old job description or the old contract looked like. Also putting some guidelines in there for hiring and discharge guidelines, purchasing guidelines for equipment and those types of things. And I think the general impetus for doing that was to allow the board oversight if
I see the scribble up top.
If need be, if we wanted to have more. And I think the idea there was it's such a big department that we need to be aware of some of those things and have a little more insight. And obviously the job description is a relationship in concert with the superintendent, and not to trump or be punitive in any manner, but to describe what his role is, what our role is, so that we, moving forward outside of a contract, we have to know what the relationship will be.
Mr. Chairman.
Gary.
Having reviewed this, too, whoever put this together did a good job. It gives us some latitude if at some time you need it. It doesn't say necessarily that anybody's going to micromanage anything. That's not the case. If something comes up, the board and the Road and Bridge Committee would have a little more oversight than before, but I don't believe it's anybody's desire to micromanage anything. And sometimes some of the things in here might actually help Marlon in his duties because I think things are better defined. Thank you.
No, Mr. Chairman. And also remember, all job descriptions are working documents. They're living, breathing things, and as needs of departments and employment changes and boards change, they shouldn't be looked at as written in stone, you know, so they're an imperfect document that from time to time may need to be adjusted.
Any more discussion? Dave?
I just want known, I have some concern that the county board is becoming, whether it be really or potentially, more involved in the hiring and firing, you know, in that department down there. I think you hire a manager and try to put your faith in them, and if they get too far astray, you fire the manager. But for us, for example, on the first page, second bullet from the bottom, says hiring and discharge of Gage County Highway Department personnel subject to final approval of the Board of Supervisors. I would hope he would confer with us, and that really hasn't been done in the past, but for us to have final approval of hiring and firing people down on the motor grade operator or the Bobcat operator level, to me is far-reaching. Now, obviously, a number of you feel that it isn't, but I just think I need to make that clear, my stance anyway. And on the last page there, or under the category Gage County Department Hiring Discharge Guidelines for Superintendent, just for example, on number 5, the most recent copy says the superintendent shall carry out by the direction of the board any dismissal of any employment for just cause. We decide we don't like somebody down there, again, with just cause. It's not a personality thing, but we feel there's cause. I still think it should be the superintendent's call. Obviously, if he goes against the board, he or she
have that right now. It's just spelling it out.
He or she ought to be smart enough to know that if he doesn't, his or her job is on the line. But and you're probably right. We have that right now.
It's just spelling it out.
There are one of the few departments in the county that really are our employees.
Right.
But for many, many years, it's been the highway superintendent that had that right. I would like to see it. The superintendent shall confer with the board of any pending dismissal and shall carry out by the direction of the board. Just soften it up a little bit. Again, it's just me, and I think most of you have worked hard on that. Matt's done a nice job of getting some, really detailed stuff, and somebody's got to do the hard, detailed nuts and bolts stuff, and I appreciate Matt willing to take that on and with the energy that he has been doing that. So I'll probably vote for it with those concerns being made.
Okay. Any more discussion?
Can I,
Marlon?
I guess under the equipment purchase guidelines also, that's going to become pretty cumbersome. And then that item 6, I don't know for sure what that means. Does that mean if a salesman comes down, I can't go out to lunch with him.
Well, there's no reason you can't go to lunch with him, but there is that whether or not he pays for the lunch. And, you know, it's the intention, I think, is to make sure that there's no question about any contractor doing something that might influence your recommendation. No matter how big or how small it is, it could be a hamburger or it could be a T-bone steak. But it's a perception, I think, more than anything. Yeah.
Well, does anybody know what the state statutes are on that? Because, you know, we've all gone and enjoyed the cat dinners at NACO convention and, you know, probably accepted their caps and things of that nature. You know, what is a line? I assume there's something that states about dollar amount or insignificant. And
well,
I exactly know what we're all talking about.
To me, though, that's different. That's open to everybody. And then John Deere has the same thing. New Holland has the same thing.
But it's still a gratuity
for
doing business.
Yeah, it is.
With, or potentially with a company. So,
Mr. Chairman.
You know, right now, TransCanada Pipeline's getting all beat up because they've tried to make themselves available to local governments all across the state. So, I mean, it's a kind of a hot-button issue.
Gary.
I kind of think with some things that we all know about and some things that's happened, I think this is just a set of guidelines, like Matt said, that can change as we go. If things go fine, I don't think there's even an issue about any of these, but sometimes when questions arise, I think we need to be aware of them. I think as a highway superintendent, I would probably want to be careful about it, just so as Ron said, the perception of it. Department heads probably need to be aware of the perception, and if I was Marlon, I'd probably want to be real aware of it. It just makes life easier for him and for every one of us, and I really agree with what Ron said, and I don't, there's safeguards in there if they're needed. If you have good management, you never have to worry about it.
I think there are some guidelines for elected officials, maybe like a 50 or less, something like that, but I don't think as far as any employees, I'm not sure there's any statutory language that covers that.
Any more discussion? Marlon, anything?
I guess my concern also on the hiring is it looks to me like employees, you know, I already have enough trouble with employees that, you know, if they get the idea that I can't dismiss them without coming to the board and getting a, and that's also a thing on the first page, it says, subject to final approval of the Board of Supervisors. Sorry, are you going to vote on it? That's my question, too, on personnel issues. I mean, hiring, if then that all becomes public if you guys have to vote on it. I don't know. I guess, and I'm needing a motor grader operator right now. It's pretty important to get one in there as soon as possible before winter because of, you know, what can happen.
Matt, didn't we want to clear that up a little bit?
Well, on the first page, I think the intent was so that as employees, because it's one of the largest departments, as employees come and go, it would be a situation there like a potential reduction in force or a budget issue. This, I've got an employee, not naming anyone, but speaking more peripherally and saying, this employee is leaving. I'm looking to hire another employee. Get a couple of nods. Okay, yeah, go ahead and hire him. But you're correct. Any individual conversations directly about an employee can't happen in an open session. Those would have to be outside. But that was the intent of that is, I've got someone I'd like to hire. Can I proceed with hiring a new motor grader? Yes, no, we're going to look at this. We're going to study this. Hold off. That's where that discussion was. Not so... If for some reason, say, we had 20 motor graders and we wanted to get down to 15, just through attrition, we would say, hold off, hold off, hold off, hold off. That's the intent there. It's not to discuss any specific personnel or person in an open session. That was the context of that. And so with regard to the hiring and discharge, on page 3 underneath there, we pulled out the language that had discussion and notification of the entire board and made that specific to committee. So with all due respect, we can ask the media to step out and have a very frank conversation if need be, but not.
I think it's appropriate. Gary?
I do, too, and nothing in here, Marlon, is going to impede you in getting a greater operator hired if you find one. I don't know anybody up here that would stop you from doing that. And again, we have a liability as a board from actions that you may or may not take on some of this stuff. As a board, we're going to have to deal with it, too. I don't think we're impeding you in any way, and I would like you to probably find a way that this is going to work instead of ways that you don't want it to work. And I guess that's the last thing I've got to say.
One last. Again, working document here. If for some reason we get 2 weeks, hopefully not 2 days, or a month or two, and says, boy, this is really impeding the ability for me to do my job. We're all reasonable people. We sit around and, that wasn't the intent, but we can see how that can be interpreted. You know, it's not an absolute. Again, specifically on the third page, by design, they were called guidelines. Not an algorithm or a protocol that you have to follow. It's a guideline. General rules of operation.
The only thing I don't see here is other responsibility and duties as assigned. Did you have that in or something?
This position may not be assigned all the duties listed, nor do the listed examples include all the duties that may be assigned.
Okay.
Any more discussion?
That's usually a catch-all. Yeah.
Vote. 7-0. We have a 10 o'clock time event. We're going to take a 5-minute recess. I want to reconvene the Gage County Board of Supervisors.
I just wanted to see what I've stayed on.
You ready? Reconvene the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Attendance by observation. Groenewald, Bauman, Sheriff, sit down. That's right. Okay, we'll start over. Groenewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard, Anderson temporarily out of the room. Approve or disapprove EMS interlocal agreement with Cortland Fire and Rescue.
We got a 10 o'clock.
Oh, we have a 10 o'clock. You are so correct. Accept, reject, or award bids for a proposal for snow removal for a courthouse, sheriff, jail, veterans office, and parking lots. Motion to close the bids at 10:06.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Groenewald, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 with Anderson temporarily out of the room. Building and grounds, give them to Davey or Ron.
Well, there's one. That's all we have.
There's one. Well, that's easy enough.
Okay, one proposal from Beatrice Lawn Care Incorporated.
Is that Tiemann?
Huh? Wow.
You deleted that envelope.
Look at that.
That's how I open all my mail.
I got put that in a file, you know.
You do? He would bother you, wouldn't he?
Yeah. He would.
Oh, Rob.
Just your hand, Danny. He'll take your
okay.
Hair off.
I want to get right after it. Okay. Proposal agreement for snow removal. This would involve the north parking lot, sheriff's garage lot, the east sheriff driveway, east parking lot, courthouse east diagonal parking, courthouse driveway, and the veterans office driveway to be done with snowblower. That one would lump sum proposal for less than 6 inches of snowfall. $300. That would be each. If you had a 3-inch snowfall,
correct.
You would do it. What happens if you have 1-inch snowfall?
Well, you use discretion. If it's a nice day and it looks like it's going to melt, or you know, if there's ice involved with it,
okay.
You have to decide. There is
okay.
Communication.
So he will contact you, or
right.
Yeah,
yes.
Oh. As to whether or not you felt it's necessary for him to do it.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. In the past, we've always had discussion before a snowfall whether we need it or not.
Okay. Feel better. Lump sum proposal for more than 6 inches of snowfall. That's pretty well defined there. $450. Sidewalks. Lump sum dollar proposal for less than 6 inches is $210. Lump sum proposal for more than 6 inches is $315. Okay. How does it compare?
Actually, it's very the same as it was last year. Tiemann, or
Beatrice Lawn Care did have the bid last year, and they pretty much stayed the same price.
You have no problems with it?
I do not.
I would move we approve the snow removal proposal from Beatrice. What do they call them?
Lawn Care.
Beatrice Lawn Care.
Second.
Moved by Flea, seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
Thank you.
Vote.
We take up the other one.
6-0 to approve.
The sheriff's
window. Yes.
We met with Sheriff Gustafson on the window proposals, and I would move that we would approve the bid of $36,639 with Chief Industries Incorporated of Grand Island, Nebraska.
Second.
Moved by Flea, seconded by Byers. Discussion, Matt?
Just to clarify, all specs are the same?
All specs are the same, and also on the bid proposal from Five Star Contracting, clarification, the windows are as supplied by Chief Industries Incorporated.
You're putting in their windows. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 with Anderson in on approving the... You're going to abstain. Okay. 6-0.
Yeah, I told you.
Approve or disapprove EMS interlocal agreement with Cortland Fire and Rescue.
Make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Seconded.
Seconded by Groenewald. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove EMS interlocal agreement with Odell Fire and Rescue.
A motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Fleece. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove agreement with Dr. Donald Rice, MD, acting as a capacity of EMS advisory consultant.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Matt?
Just the changes on this from the old contract. We tried to make the dates coincide. We didn't try. We did make the dates coincide with the EMS agreements with the other ALS and BLS services. Terminology changing from a medical director to an EMS advisory consultant. And that was, I believe those were the only two changes.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0. Approve or disapprove Bergeron Architect and Gary Engineering to complete a study in order for them to apply for an energy grant with the contingency that said study for said grant would be available to Gage County for its use at no cost on future courthouse projects.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Fleece. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Gary.
Who's willing to give us something for nothing? And how's this working? A little explanation?
That was our big concern. They would be doing the study, and as a result of applying for the grant, and if the study indicated that whatever they were doing with the courthouse would provide an efficient energy, that they would be, get up to, $1.80 per square foot?
If we meet all of the...
They would.
Yes.
Yeah, they
okay.
would.
Okay.
And it also something we thought maybe we could, with the study, that maybe we could use in the future that would could be used to improve any efficiency. Yeah. We were doing the only concern we had that once the study got done and they got it completed, that we wanted to use that study. We didn't want them to come back. We'll let you use it. It's going to cost you.
Yeah, okay.
We don't want a copyright fringe.
So we can use that later no matter what.
Well, that's the reason for the lengthy motion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right, and I've gone back because we talked about all this in building committee on Monday, and I went back and looked at the federal guidelines that we have to follow in order to apply for all of this and who we can hire as a separate engineering firm to perform the study and all of that. In the federal guidelines, it actually states that we are required to provide the owner, the county, with a copy of this report and with no strings attached to it. It's your copy to do with whatever you like. So we're required already through the process that we're going through to provide you guys with a copy of it for whatever you want to do with it. So I was originally asked to provide some kind of letter from Berggren Architects and Gary Engineering that stated this, but because it's already in the federal guidelines that we're working under, we didn't feel like there was a need to issue a letter because it's already been stated.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Not all of us may be around 5 years from now if something would happen. We just felt it was something we should have in the motion, at least to go back to it and say, what about this? So.
Okay. Any other discussion? Vote. 7-0. Committee reports.
I will want to note that I will be doing the legislative NACO Legislative Day in Kearney next week, meeting with the governor and Senator Adams and Senator Heidemann. So I felt that we should have some representation, and so I will be going out.
One sounds like a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
Any other committee reports?
Oh, building and grounds, just a couple of things I want to let you aware of. They're going to start on the lower level window project probably sometime this week, or they're out. They're doing it now. Or are they doing it?
We're actually working on it. We just started on site working on it.
Okay. And the antique light fixture project
ad
to
nauseam.
The east side of the courthouse, hopefully they'll get started on some trenching soon this week and to get the wiring and everything installed, so when we decide what type of fixtures we will use, all of that will be in place so we can go ahead and bid the stuff based upon that information. And we're hoping to have that some of that stuff available to bid that project as far as the light fixtures we will use at our October 18th committee meeting and hopefully be available for our October 20th meeting. Let's see. The north lower level window project, same thing. They're putting together the bid information there for approval by the committee at October 18th. That would be the EOC portions back behind us. There will be nothing done at this point in time with that project that has anything to do with the stair thing, whatever that is on the north side. That's going to be a different time and different issue when you have that involved. So that'll also be on the agenda for our next committee meeting and the next board meeting.
Okay.
David, you got anything you wanted to add? I see our grass is greening up and looking better. And
yeah, it's starting to come up. I'll try to get some water on it here pretty soon. The only thing I was going to bring up, we did decide to go with some carpet in the EOC area before Mark Mainz does move back in to get that taken care of. And as this project comes to an end, I would like to get some bids on some carpeting for first floor and register of deeds offices. As this comes to an end, we still have some work to do, stripping baseboard and things like that, but after that is taken care of, I would like to get some bids and get some carpeting, new carpeting down. It's taken some wear and tear this past year, and it is 9 years old. It's starting to show some age.
One other thing David mentioned, that there's so much dust and stuff in that carpet, it's very hard to get it out, and you just got a problem. It'll probably take a two-day at least type of a, maybe three, to move people out and get her carpeted, move people back in again. So something that may start on a Friday and done over a weekend or something of that nature. But through his efficient work, he'll get that all lined up. And it could be something that could be done later this winter or whatever the case would be. So, but not before tax collection time.
And I want to make a note, we should be able to get some credit from some of the contractors as far as using those floors maybe inappropriately, that we need some credit back from them.
It's basically
too.
The EOC, because they think they use that office for about 2 or 3 months or longer. So
I've talked to Wim about this, and we are going to have that on our punch list and just walk through. And with a project this big, they just could not help but do some damage, and there is some areas that did get some damage, so we'll take a look at that and hopefully get some credit from them and go from there.
Dave and I are going to review the areas that he wants to review, and then we'll put a document together to give the Cheevers
prorating, you know, the age of the carpet and how much work was done in that area and that kind of stuff. Try to recover a little funds for replacing of the carpet.
I'd like to compliment Dave on getting the yards taken care of in the last couple of weeks, the tree removal and the seeding, and you know, overseeing that project at least. And it'll be a nice improvement when it all gets done.
Thank you. Yes, taking out the trees. We always hate to take out an old mature tree, but that really did clean up the yard nice, and there's a lot less worries of having that phone call come in the middle of the night saying that a hackberry tree blew over and is laying across the highway. So
three lanes of traffic blocked.
Yes, yes.
If I may, one other thing in regards to this restoration project. We are at a phase in the project where we're trying to finish. And part of that finishing is Dave and myself going through the building and developing a punch list of items that need to be addressed yet by Cheevers. If any of you have concerns or questions about any areas that we've worked in, which is basically the whole courthouse, direct them towards Dave and let him keep a list of things going. Probably in the next 2 weeks, I will be finishing a punch list and getting it to Cheever Construction with a certificate of substantial completion, which basically says exactly that. We're substantially complete. The attachment to that will be the punch list. But what that does then is say you're substantially complete with the project. We're going to start a closeout process. Here's a list of things that you need to do yet in order to finalize this project. And so again, if you see anything, if you have questions, concerns about any of the areas, direct them towards Dave. He and I will address them in however we need to achieve our construction and get closed up here.
Yeah, I just mentioned to you, I guess, that little part of that west-east wall of the district courtroom. Yeah, so
I had a conversation with one of the Cheever workers on Monday about that west wall. And that will be part of one of the things that we need to address is how to finish that wall out a little better in that particular area.
Good.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, what about the communications thing?
I did contact the state, and they gave me a call back. This has been going on for a while, so as soon as they can get in is next Tuesday, they will switch over the AS400 computer downstairs. MIPS has to come in behind them, so it would happen on Tuesday, and then MIPS said they would probably be 3 to 4 days behind them yet. So hopefully by the end of next week, the new server room will be completely up and going.
So you did get a date. I mean, you did get a day that they're going to
be. I did. I got a little help on that from Mr. Byers. Gave me a phone number to call, and I did get some immediate results after that.
You earned your pay.
So yeah. Finally.
You and Winston.
Finally.
It's amazing how that one phone number can work, isn't it?
Amazing.
You never know.
You know people in high places.
That's right.
Good. That'll take care of a lot of these wires that are hanging down in the different offices so they can finish doing that.
There's
stuff.
Just a lot of things Cheevers needs to wrap up, and they're waiting for us. The little boardroom has a lot of plaster repair work to be done, and we did not want them creating the dust at this time until all the computers are out. So there's just a lot of things that they need to finish up, and that will happen as soon as all those cables are out of there.
Okay. Anything else?
I guess I did pass not for this.
No. Anything. Yeah.
Okay. Anything. Okay, we're at anything. This letter to the editor, it's Pawnee County oriented. Some of you know Wayne Sosick. He's a newly elected commissioner over there and quite a colorful character. And this adds more to Matt's road trees ad nauseum. But other counties are having issues too. And it's just for your information. I did submit a copy of it to our local editor and just said, you know, it'd be interesting to know that I guess misery has company or something to that effect. And, There are a lot of things. In fact, one that I was recently guilty of, I stacked some rounds. I've been out of the livestock business, so I haven't thought about it for a few years, but I baled some straw, and I stacked it right along the roadside, and that's one of the things he complains about. That's just as bad as a plum thicket if you've got the straw, you know, lined up your fence row, and you see that all over. So some interesting thoughts there, so just for your information.
Did you want to mention that brunch?
I've already got a copy. I got it. You can look at it quick and get it.
How much you guys want to donate toward it? Or
did everybody get this, the treasurer's office passing around?
They're having a Halloween brunch instead of a Christmas deal at the courthouse.
Instead of?
October the 21st.
We've always thrown money in and out of our kitty.
We've always given money for pizza or chicken or something. I just wondered how much, if you wanted to do that again, or how much you wanted to give.
Same as we've done at Christmas.
Unless you're
going to do both, but if it's an instead of, I'd.
I think the treasurer's office is handling it, and they said there was going to be a lot of training going on in December, so that's why they moved it up to October.
Should I donate my $5 gift certificate from Valentino's toward this? Or
it's right after, don't
we? Anything else for the good of the order?
Yeah.
Meeting adjourned, 10:25.